Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful to you
for this day.
Oh, yes, Lord.
This day is representative of your resurrection.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, Lord, for that resurrection. Mm-hmm. What that day represented.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That one day, that famous day, God, you said it was
finished.
Hallelujah, you finished your work on the cross.
Yes.
And for that, we are grateful, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you said that it was finished, God. Way back then, for what we are going through now. You said it back then.
Yes,
you called our name out then.
Yes,
and you said it was finished.
It is finished.
Then. Hallelujah.
In the name of
in the name
Jesus.
Of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, look upon us, God.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Look on your bride, God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, as we stand at the door, God, as you stand there and wait for your bride to walk in, God. Lord, look on that dress of hand, God, and see if there's any spot or wrinkle, God. Just none of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to iron out the wrinkles, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Clean out the spot, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Clean out hearts, God. Anything in us is not like you, God, that we are speaking to you this day. That's what we're cleaning up, Lord. Lord, forgive us for our sins, God. Forgive us for our sins, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, for it is your desire for your bride to meet you, God. And you are there waiting anxiously for us, Lord. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. For any lame, God, right now in the name of Jesus, straighten up their legs, God, where they can be able to walk. Any blind, God, open their eyes that they may see, God. Not just in the natural, God, but in the spiritual, Lord. So we can be able to see that it's your will, God, in the name of Jesus. For any of us that's dumb, Lord, who cannot hear, Lord, I'm stopping that ear, God, so we may hear what the Spirit is saying to us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, God, for what you're about to do with us, God. Any healers, heal us now, God. In the name of Jesus, for the glory of your name, God. And Lord, we are so grateful, God, that you have taught us, God, that not always what we want is what is good for us, to teach us, Lord, to walk in your will, God. That those things that we need, you have provided for us. And we thank you, Lord, not just the things we want, but the things we need, God. Sometimes those things we want was not your will. But Lord, we thank you, God, for showing us those things. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless this day, God. Bless your word, God. Bless your word, God. Bless the message. Bless this house, God. Thank you, Lord. Bless the house of prayer. For you have established it, God. And you said so, and it's so in for me. We thank you, Lord, for speaking. We thank you, God. That in your kingdom, like when you speak, God, it is true, God. You have established it. In Jesus' name, we pray. Each and every one be blessed this day. Those who are on their way, God, grant them traveling mercy, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for what you are about to do. And as we open our arms and our hands and our spirit to you, to receive the Holy Spirit right now, to come in and flow with us. That fall down us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We just thank God. Hallelujah. We thank God for the day. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. This is the most important season.
Hallelujah.
Not that he was born. And not that he died. But he was.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I commend the oil into the stomach even right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, one need to be broken, one need to be removed, one need to be healed. Lord, in the name of Jesus, send your oil. Send your oil. Lord, in the name of Jesus, on this day that you came out of the grave, Jesus, let that resurrection power reach right now, even your people. Whatever is going on in the belly, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I send the resurrection power. Lord, let your word reach the belly. And let the body be engulfed with the power of your resurrection. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command any growth of a cell that is not designed to be in that place right now. I command it dead in the name of Jesus. Anything that is popping its head out that's supposed not to be there, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I release the fire of the Holy Spirit upon it. Let it be burned all the way to the seed. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal today in the name of Jesus. Restore even right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I put an end to the stomach ache today. I put an end to the turbulence that's going on inside. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command silence and peace in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this day. As you came out of the grave, as you validated everything, your birth, your resurrection, your birth, your death, and your second coming, your word became even more alive to us than ever before. As we see you come out of the grave, as you said you will. Lord, in the name of Jesus, remind each and every one of us today of your word. Remind each and every one of us today of your word. Your word, oh God, your word that you have spoken, what you say you will do. Yes, that you are coming back again. Lord, in the name of Jesus, revive our spirit. Revive our soul. Let your spirit enter our soul, that our soul may be engulfed with your presence. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that truly we will experience no longer me, but Christ who lives in me. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. You may have a seat in the blood. Amen. As you all know, today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And actually that resurrection is a victory for us, for you and me. Because that validated the birth, the death, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And without the resurrection, none of the things Jesus said will be valid. So with the resurrection, everything comes alive. Amen. So, based on the fact that we are waiting on him to come back, and we're looking forward to him to return and take us out of here. This morning I said something and my wife was laughing, but actually I really mean it. And what I said was, well, you know, I look at all the trouble that before us today, and I said, Maranatha, so come quickly, Lord, so come quickly. Hey, the trouble will not stop, but one thing we do know is that one day we'll be sucked out of this earth. And if it can happen now, glory be to God. There will be no more credit card payment, there will be no more mortgage, and life will be much, much better. Paul said, Maranatha. Maranatha, so come quickly, Lord. Maranatha. 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 Spirit of God. Maranatha. 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 Spirit of God. I'm going to give you a little story about a guy called Joel. Joel is a mighty man. In fact, he's not the only one that was called Joel in the scriptures, but I'm talking about this particular one who was a mighty man in the army of King David. For me personally, Joel was one of the most mighty men among the mighty men of valor during the reign of King David. The reason is that when you look at everything that he has accomplished, you realize that this man really was a mighty man of valor. And nobody can take that away from him. Are you there? Okay. And first of all, Joab was King David's nephew. Okay. He was a son of David's sister. David's sister's son. So Joab was a part of the family. So Joab has a brother called Abishai. And Asahel, but we didn't hear about him too much, the second brother. But Abishai was somewhere in the scripture, if you remember, I referred to him many times, where he went to fight, Abishai and Joab went to fight the children of Ammon and the Assyrian at the same time, and Abishai said, Joab said to Abishai, you take half of the army, you go that way, I'll take half, and I'll go this way, if this one becomes too hard for me, too much for me, you come and help me, if those became too much for you, I'll come and help you. But remember, we are fighting for the city of our God, you know. And when you go through the scripture, you see how Joab spoke, and you know, things that he did, you realize that there was a fear of God in him. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? So Joab was one that led assault on fortress of Mount Zion. Just after that, he was promoted to the rank of general. And when you go to First Chronicle, you'll see that down there. He was the one that led the army of Israel against the Assyrians, against the Ammon, against the Moab, and against the Edom. That was him, Joab. But now, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, Joab was a part of something that wasn't too good. He was also included in the murder committed by David. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? He was the one on the battlefield, the commander, and the letter was sent to him. So the killing of Uriah wasn't just David, but Joab also somehow was included, which was not too good. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Again, Joab was the one that led the army of David, or the group of David, because this time when Absalom rebelled against David, David left the kingdom with few of the trusted men that he had. Now, to come back and reconquer the kingdom, they had to fight. But David gave an assignment to Joab, saying, whatever you do, don't kill my son. Are you with me?
Yes.
And Joab went, they would have captured Absalom alive and brought him back to David, but he said, kill him. He killed Absalom. And Joab again was the one that rebuked David when they returned, and David was crying. And the troops were telling him, they didn't know what to do because the king is crying. And Joab was the one that rebuked David and said, look, these men have fought for you, put their life on the line, and now this is what you have to say. And David stopped crying and went and encouraged the troops. Again, Joab was a man that played a vital role in the establishment of the kingdom under David and maintaining the kingdom during the reign of King David. As this continued, the second brother of Joab was killed by Abner. And Joab didn't like it. He took revenge by killing Abner. And David didn't like that. Are you with me? And when the time finally came for Solomon to become a king, you remember there was another brother also that wanted the kingdom.
Yeah.
And Joab went with the other brother instead of going with Solomon. And David told Solomon, you have to kill Joab. And Joab was killed by Solomon, who was becoming a king at that very moment. So I want you to see how Joab started slowly, became a general in the army of Israel. And instead of maintaining that momentum and enjoy the fruit of his labor into his old age, Joab didn't. He died as a result of some few foolish mistakes that he made along the way. Are you there? He died as a result of some few mistakes, just few mistakes. I don't think David would kill him because he was a part of the killing of Uriah, which David was the mastermind in the first place. But by killing Abner against the will of King David, that took David to the brink. And what finally caused David and someone to take action was that he sided with the wrong one at the time where David became too old for anything. And Solomon, the young man, supposed to become the new king in Israel. I want you to see how Joab started all the way to the rank of general. He led the army of Israel. He fought with God in mind. He did all these mighty things in the land, established his name as a mighty man of valor. And at the end, he was killed in the temple. He said he died in the temple. So when he left, he knew that they started looking for him, he went to hide in the temple and said that he was going to die. And they killed him in the temple. I want you to see again how he did all these things, establish his name. Amen. And at the end, he didn't live to enjoy all that he has done. Over a vast period of time, he died. Just in a short period of time. During that time, David is old. So Joab is almost pretty much around that time where he should be retiring and live his life, the rest of his life, in peace. But that was not the case. Let me take you to the scripture. If you have the book of Luke, let's go down there. Chapter 13. chapter 13, do you have him? I think we will start with verse 25. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut up to the door, and he begins to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you, hence ye are. Verse 26. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drank in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. So these are some people that really know the Lord. It's not that they don't know him. These are some people that have some relationship with him somewhere along before they get to this place where he's saying, I don't know you. These are some people that really have knowledge of him. They are knowledgeable of him. Now, in verse 26 it says, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drank in thy presence. So that means they were in his presence. These are not people that didn't come to church. No, these are the people that were in the presence of God. They know what the presence of God is.
Yeah.
These are the people that really understand what it means that the presence of the Lord is in the house.
Yeah.
These are not the folk that just come and they are heading somewhere and they have no clue what is happening. No. These are the people that have clue. These are the people that know exactly what's going on. Have you ever sat in the church and you have some folk that really knows when to say amen, when to say hallelujah,
mm-hmm.
but, oh Lord Jesus, inside, they're far from him. They just need to get out of the church building and you know exactly who that person is. Everybody's shaking hands. Everybody knows somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So these are the people that really know what the presence of the Lord is. And he said, and thou hast taught in our streets. So they have sat in the teaching, under the teaching of the Lord Jesus. They have sat where the word was taught. These are the people that have tasted the presence of God.
Yes.
Joel put his might at the work of the kingdom under David. He did everything that he could to support David as king. He did everything to defend the kingdom. And when you go back to the book of Chronicles, he said to his brother Abishai, he said, let's fight for our people. Hallelujah. And for the city of our God. And let the Lord pray and do as he pleased him. This is somebody that is well knowledgeable of the things of God. And listen to that, you know that he loved the Lord with all his heart. But look at how he ends. Look at how he ends. And this is what throw a lot of people off. I just can't understand. I just can't explain this. Because look at the number of years he put into doing the right thing. And look at almost no time, everything was gone. And his life was ended just like that. Are you there? And verse 27 says, but ye shall say, I tell you, I know you not, hence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. This is a very sad thing to hear. If you live to call yourself a believer, a Christian, and the day you die, and the Lord will say to you, I don't know you. The story resembles the story of Joel. How are you going to live all your life in church and be a part of ministry and do this and do that for the church? And pray and call upon the name of the Lord. People get saved under you. People get delivered under you. People get, you know, all kind of stuff happen. Healing. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, I don't know you. This is a very sad thing. That's why personally I don't believe in once you save, you always save. Because you're going to end up in hell in no time. Yeah. Because the Bible tells us that there's not going to be workers of iniquity in the kingdom. Are you with me?
So he said, yes, but you shall say, I tell you, I know you not. Hence ye are, depart from me. Meaning, when the Lord is going to be, you're not going to be. So that means you're not going to have the eternal life that was promised to us. That is a terrible thing to hear. That is a sad news to hear. That is a very uncomforting word to hear in a time like that. Let's turn it to him. 1 Thessalonians. You're looking at chapter 4. Are you there? Mm-hmm. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to verse 7. For this is the will of God, giving your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You see, when we talk of fornication, the mind straight goes to the sexual aspect. If fornication is for those who are, well, if you look at adultery and fornication, those two words are pretty much almost the same as far as the Bible goes. Okay? When you are married and you are messing around with other women or men, depending on the case, you are committing adultery. That is a prostitution as far as the Bible is concerned. We define prostitution as having sex and getting paid money. No, the Bible does not define it like that. Once you go away from God and do your own thing, you commit fornication. You are a prostitute, as far as the Bible goes. If you are lying, you are a prostitute. If you are stealing, you are a prostitute. Because what? You go along with other gods. You walk with some other God besides the God of Israel. Once you go away from him, you commit a prostitution. That's why God said Israel has committed prostitution. Israel wasn't going around having to take money. No. Because Israel has gone after another God besides the God of Israel. So we need to understand these words here as far as the way the Bible defines them. Because what? We're not going to waste our days in church and the day will finally come and the Lord will say, I don't know you. No. No. That should never be. I'm saying this because on January the 5th, 2014, at 10:53 minutes, a.m. in the morning, during the morning service, Sunday morning service, the Lord said, get the church ready. And I was a little confused. I was like, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to get the church ready? Ooh, what do I do? But here is the thing. The Lord is resurrected. He is not in heaven. The Bible is telling us that he's coming back again. And he's coming back for one thing, to take us home.
Yes.
See, if he comes, he cannot take you. It's because you have too much baggage.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have you ever traveled with Africans? Get on an airplane with Africans traveling to Africa? Oh, yeah. Pray that the airplane does not fall out of the sky because they carry too much luggage. Sometimes they'll tell them, no, sir, you can't take this. You can't take that one. That is too big. We can't take that. We can't put that on the airplane. He said, okay, what about this? It's still too big. He takes stuff down four times. They say, it's still too heavy. Sir, that is too heavy.
Wait a minute. What part of it is too heavy? You don't understand. Look, it has to be this high. It has to be this wide. That's it.
I get on an airplane with Africa so many times.
They travel with what? But luggage that are heavier and longer than themselves. I wonder, how do you get that to the airport in the first place? Because of them?
Or because of my brothers and sisters, Africans? Because I'm an African too.
They have to stop making those big luggages. That's why they stop them. You can't see them anymore.
Oh, you look looking at me like, what are you talking about? They used to make luggage like 5 feet long. They don't make that anymore. It's because of my brother. And they love me. Why do you have it? They push up. And these are the stuff that are good for nothing. I said to them one time, I was at GFK, I said to them, I said, look, the money you're going to pay to transport this to Africa, that money you can buy anyone over there.
Right.
And he's like, oh. And he was scratching his head. Yeah, it's not worth a dollar. You're going to pay how much? $100 for how many pounds? And you have 300 pounds of it. Nobody from them. Oh, they can carry that and put it on the aircraft.
Oh, wow.
If the Lord comes and you cannot be sucked out of the earth, it's because you have too much luggage. And what is that luggage? These are the things that we mentioned, the fornication, uncleanness, workers of iniquities, he said. Meaning, all kinds of filthy things that the Lord does not roll with.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. To sit on the airplane, I make sure I'm not sitting there to Africa. It's not by discrimination, it's because they just carry too much stuff. I'm traveling, I'm going to be on aircraft for 20 hours. I want to be able to stretch my leg. Too much luggage. When you carry too much luggage, you create a problem for others. You create a problem for others. That's how it goes in the kingdom also. When you carry too much stuff that you shouldn't be carrying in the first place. He said what? All of you are heavy laden. You have too much weight. You can go. Come to me. I'll give you rest. That's what he said. Whatever you carry, give it to the Lord. He will give you rest. But if you want to carry, you're going to burden everybody else down. Because we are going to want to help you somehow and we are going to be falling.
Hallelujah.
There was a sister, one Friday night we had here. She said, yeah, I was praying for this person. And all of a sudden, I just took the weight of the person and I gave it to the Lord. My goodness, there are some stuff you hear in church. I don't know why in Africa said, oh, well, I went to the tree and I'll pull you out because I'm a prophet. He was saying that on TV. No. Nobody else can take your luggage off you. Nobody else can give you rest. Because nobody else, ever, in the history of our planet, said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. There's nobody besides Jesus. There's nobody else that can give you rest with the stuff that you carry. Because what? First of all, we don't even know what it is. You can tell us, oh, this is what I'm carrying. And what you tell us you're carrying is not the real thing. You carry something that you don't even know of. You carry something you don't know of. We were in church one time, and here comes this lady. We were praying for something. Oh, Lord Jesus. It was deliverance. She said, oh, all I need, just for him. Okay, and I'll be fine. And the Lord said, no. Kick that demon out of her. And I said, oh, come on. Let's kick this demon out. And as we start praying, she's like, no. And as soon as that demon ran out of her, the pain was gone. The pain that she's been in for she's been having for 7 years, the pain just left as soon as, and you know what? The demon couldn't come out because there was something around her waist that brought the demon in because he was put in through ceremony. And as this what happened, the Lord said, cut that thing off. And then one of the ladies jumped on her and snapped that thing and the demon ran. You can hear the dog bouncing, everything bouncing as the demon was running out.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, the pain just vanished.
Amen.
And we're standing there. He said, we don't even know the kind of stuff we carry. Because I don't think she knew why she would, they did it to her when she was a child. So she didn't know what was there. But all she knew was that she's having pain. For 7 years, no medication can really take care of the pain. I pray for the pain. No, that is not a problem. The problem is something else. So what? If a man said to you, come on to me and I'll give you rest, he is just lying to you. Because he can give you rest. He can give himself rest in the first place.
Amen.
But Jesus said, come on to me and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
Because why? He does not look at the physical aspect of what you're going through. He looks through the eyes of the spirit. He sees exactly what you carry. The doctor, when he sees you, can see exactly what's happened. That's why you gotta go for the X-ray. That's why you gotta go for the ultrasound. That's why you gotta go for the MRI. Because MRI can see something that the doctor cannot see. The eyes of Jesus is an MRI. The eyes of Jesus is an X-ray machine. The eyes of Jesus is an ultrasound. And even more beyond, because ultrasound can pick up stuff sometimes. They will tell you to drink 15 gallons of water. And you don't drink 50, they can see it. Come unto me. That's Jesus saying. Speak to that one. He said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Your body should be a body of honor.
Amen.
Yeah, especially our young people. We are living in an age where they think, do you look at magazines these days? I don't know what magazine you're going to see besides New York Times that you ain't going to see woman's leg somewhere in there, somehow, naked leg. Yesterday there was one that I had to deliver that had this naked woman. The picture was taken from far above. She's laying in thousands of alcoholic beverage with the bottle covered in sex and the breast. I said, Lord Jesus, look at Vanity Fair, look at all this, look at the magazine, look just tires commercial, look just to the TV. They sell it tires. You stand there, what are they talking about? You see leg 15 times, okay, but what are they selling actually? At the end, somebody say, oh, they're selling tires. What tire has to do with the leg? And I didn't see tire in the commercial. All I saw was leg, and leg. Your body should be a body, a vessel of honor.
Amen.
Sanctified. It's not for public to admire.
That's right.
This is where we are today.
That's right.
And our society started going down from the very moment where all this started coming on TV.
That's right.
If you can remember, go back a little bit in the 50s. I wasn't born then, but I saw some of the commercials and some of the stuff that started coming on TV. Prior to that, my grandma's age, it wasn't much of that because they covered everything. But when this is the thing. God didn't put a sense on our forehead, right? Because what? He didn't want you to be walking around for people to be seeing it.
That's right.
He could have put it on your forehead. Because God is able to obtain anything, doing anything that he wants. He could have put it on your chest for you to show as you go. But you know what? He didn't. Why? He put it somewhere where it's hidden.
Right. Hallelujah.
And we call it what? Private.
Yeah, we call it private. Right?
That's your private space. Your body is a verse 4 again. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Possess your vessel. Don't let anybody come and possess it. No. And you know what? God honor even the very young people that possess their vessel in honor and protect it.
Amen.
From public display. We are living in an age where you have to redefine your own world. You can't go. You see, if you want to go by what's available, you're going to do exactly what they're doing. Because what? You don't control the food chain. You don't control the cloth chain. You don't control any of the chain. So therefore, whatever is available through the chain is what you're going to get. But if you say, I am not going to go by the chain or whatever the fashion world says, but I'm going to redefine my world.
Yes.
Oh yeah, you will recreate yourself and repossess your body and make it a vessel of honor.
Amen.
God's spirit dwells only in the vessel of honor.
Amen.
Holy Spirit doesn't want to be naked. When was the last time you see Holy Spirit on the TV showing his leg? No, you can see it. You can see it. He doesn't come to church and say, okay, church is my place, and show his what? No, he doesn't. He had his body. We are to carry that image. Vessel in sanctification and honor. And verse 5, he said, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So there are some of the things that we do. When we do them, we are just saying, oh, we are like the world. There's no difference between us in terms of spirit.
Mm.
Let me tell you the difference between a believer of Jesus Christ and a non-believer. A non-believer of Jesus Christ carries a dead spirit.
Mm.
His spirit is dead. The spirit is not alive. We were all one time dead in the spirit. Okay? From the very first moment where Adam, back in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in the garden. When he ate that fruit that he was told not to eat, we all became dead in the spirit. Okay? And the spiritual man is dead. We have body, we have soul, and we have spirit. Now, the spirit is dead. Now, you are alive. You're walking around. If you are a non-Christian, your spirit is dead. You are carrying a dead spirit. It's a weight on you. You may not even know sometimes. But the time you become saved, you realize that there was a change. One change is that the dead spirit that you carry comes alive. Your spirit is now alive. A Christian has a spirit that is living, just like the body, physical body is living. A non-Christian has the body living, he has the soul alive, but the spirit is dead. So, when your spirit is dead, you cannot make a sense or process things the way God wants you to process them. You cannot make a decision that will be godly acceptable. Because the spiritual man is the one that will process those problems that are godly. If the spirit is dead, then you cannot make sense to God in anything that you do. So it's essential for a believer to keep his spirit alive. He said, now, yes, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So the Gentiles, because they don't know God, there are things that they are allowed to do. But as for you and me that know God, we are not allowed to do everything. No, everything is not allowed. Everything is not allowed. Yes, it might be easy. We can do it and get away with it, but we are not allowed to do it. God does not punish man right away after he does one thing. But the Bible says there is a day, there is a time for everything under the sun. There is a day, there is a time, there is a season, there is a time for every single thing. Where everything that is hidden will be put to light. So, for you and me, Christian, the day that we celebrate, this day that we remember, this day that we call part of resurrection, is a day that our spiritual man was given a chance to come back to life.
Amen.
Jesus came back to life.
Yes.
Your spiritual man is given a chance to come back to life. And when you come back to life, you live as if you are alive. You need to show what is the difference. This is what God is talking about in his word. He says, verse 11, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Today, the church folk are the most deceitful people you come across. That's why people have been devastated in the church. Okay, you're going to buy it. You believe strongly, right, that when you give $10, God will multiply it and come in multiple, You'll be believing sowing seed and getting harvest, right? Okay, you are multi-millionaire and you want to get just sow seed.
Uh-huh.
Don't stay out there asking me to send you money so you can go buy the most luxurious Wi-Fi and jet. No, you just sow seed and sit down and see the harvest. Because you preach it to the people. You believe in it, right? That's why you're preaching it. And it's been working for you. Yeah, that's now you are millionaire. Now you just sow the seed so you can get the jet that you want. Why? You only apply one way, it doesn't apply the other way. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in sowing seed. That's why we, in house of prayer, we sow seed.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we sow. And when we sow, we reap also.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. I'm a witness.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's why I don't believe the church will stand at the perfect light with the basket. Give us money. We are going to buy a church building. No, I don't believe in it. Because when money was needed in Israel to build a temple, people of Israel gave.
That's right.
They gave so much that, you know what? For the temple, first for the tabernacle. The Bible said they give so much that they have to turn people away, that they don't need anymore. No more gold, take it back. No, we don't want anymore. That's how people give. Yes. We should first invest in our own people.
Amen.
Why do we invest? Invest the word of God. Let people be holy in their mindset. Have a renewed mind first to start with. Because if it changes anything, if the mind is not renewed, if we still living like everybody else, we still doing things like everybody else, yes. Let the church have a fashion show. All right, let's show how many legs. See how many legs we can show. Come on, fuck. We go from fashion show to head show, from head show to bikini show. Come on. This is a church. We are to preach the kingdom of God and point to the kingdom that the Father is talking about. Point to heaven. Let people's mind be turned towards the Father.
Amen.
That's what the church is all about. Fashion show is not for us. Fuck, we can't have it. Oh, but we can make this amount of money. Thank you. The money was here before we came. It will remain here. We will go. Our young people, it's true. You are living in a world where you face a tremendous pressure from the media, from the school, from even the parents sometimes. Some of the parents are even worse than the media. From everywhere you turn, there is a pressure somehow. And when you grow up, you are born into this kind of environment you grow up in, all you know is what you have been presented with. So therefore, it's hard to make a change. That's why we have the responsibility to tell you that, listen, there is a way. You don't have to go with the leg showing to make money. Oh, no, there is a different way to make money.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen.
A boyfriend is not the solution to your problem.
All right, now.
A boyfriend is not the solution. A girlfriend, the rich one, might not be the solution to your problem. Hallelujah. Amen. Because some people say, I just need one rich girl and I'll be all right. Oh, no, you don't. Rich girl, you may end up in jail. She's rich, but you're going to end up in jail.
Wow.
I can't tell you how many guys got arrested last week because of Charles Dan right here in my valley. Ladies and gentlemen, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Uncleanness is anything that does not agree with the word of God.
Amen.
Whereas you may think nobody sees you, that does not agree with the word of God. That is uncleanness. You pollute your spirit.
Ooh.
When you do things that are ungodly, you pollute your spirit. You put dust on your spiritual man. How do you give your spiritual man a bath? It's not by getting on the top. No! It's by doing that which is holy and acceptable to God. You stay like that, you stay clean. That's unbelievable. You will need no shower. But your physical body may stink, but your spiritual may know. They may cover their nose when you come around, but they will love your spirit. Because your spiritual man is much, much better. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despise not man, but God, who have also given unto us his spirit holy. So, holy young people, this is what the Bible says. When you are among your peers, and they say, oh no, you ain't good enough because you can't taste it. Oh no, 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 no. Listen to what the Bible says. He that despise you because you refuse to take the drug, because you refuse to sleep around, because you refuse to participate in the things that are not acceptable. They don't despise you. They despise the God that is in you.
Ooh.
The Spirit of God that is in you, that is guiding you and leading you, is the one to despise.
Ooh.
We are living in a world today where it's not just young people that are under pressure. Young are all under pressure. Everybody, yes. They show the all kind of Viagra that are available.
That's true. Yeah.
And they're giving even classes to the old one how they can seduce the much older one. The pressure is everywhere. It's not just the young people, but the old one also. We all under pressure. Why are we under pressure? It's because we are different. It's because what? We have something inside that speaks something else. When we open our mouth, we speak a language that they do not understand. How in this world you're talking about cover your leg.
What does that mean? Oh no, they don't understand that. No.
You're talking about the vessel of the Holy Spirit. This is not just a leg, it's a vessel of the Holy Spirit.
It's the vessel of the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, the vessel of the Holy Spirit.
When you walk, don't I see yourself as, oh, my name is Shanae, and yeah, Shanae. No, it's not Shanae. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit moving. Yeah.
Amen.
Did I tell you? Oh, you came from my house. There was a corner, there was a street, there was a little store down there. And I walked in there that day. I was in prayer that day. And I went in there. I don't know what she was saying. As soon as I walked in, the woman was like, I came back to my office. I told my office, don't send me back again. If you send me back, they're going to close. He said, A week later, they send me back again. The 10 weeks, they sent a notice to the office that they're closing, they're moving out.
Wow.
What happened?
Wow.
That day was the third of fasting and prayer we were having. Oh, yes. You want to stand in my holy and live? You gotta be in prayer, folk. You want to live in Robinson? Oh, you gotta pray even more. And you know what? Devil, target, whatever.
That's right. Wow.
We have church street in my holy. We have church street in Robinson. Those churches don't go on them. See, I heard from those churches. Church street.
Church street.
I'm telling you. Those are the area that he chose, the area that he chose, Church Street.
Yeah, Church Street.
Why? Because it's called Church Street, that's what he chose.
Right.
And those are the... stay away from them. Oh, yes. And the door was on Church Street. And he said, I ain't staying here anymore. He moved.
I told him, don't send me there again.
And when he received the notice, I came back to the third week, he said, why did you say, don't send you back again? They really send the notice. They say they are moving and they're closed. What did you do?
I said, it's a spiritual battle. You can't understand it.
That's
awesome. This is a man.
It's the vessel. The vessel is the vessel of the Holy Spirit. You cannot produce it with something else and expect something to happen. No. We have been called, set apart, and infused with the Holy Spirit. The spirit that wake up Jesus on a Sunday in the grave, the man that went down there and said, Jesus, come out, let's go. That's the spirit we have been pumped with. And this is the one moving us now. He is the one taking command of our lives. The Bible says we will be guided when he comes. He will guide us. You are not to be guided by a prophet. You are not to be guided by a bishop or archbishop. You are to be guided by the spirit of the Lord. So, you know, when we are living a time where Jesus is coming again. And, you know, how do we get ready? That's what we're talking about. How do we get ready? Ladies and gentlemen, we're grown enough. We know what to do and we know what not to do. But again, I'm telling you some of the things that you are not to do. And I'm telling you there are so much pressure when you turn the TV on. Sometimes you just have to turn it off. I said, okay, this is children's channel. What is this thing doing on the children's channel? I don't see the connection. But you know what? The plan is to infuse them from the very young age. No, devil is a liar. You will not infuse my child with this.
Wow.
What is the connection? Devil, he knows the word of God. Okay? He said what? The word said what? Train them the way they should go. So when they grow up, they will not depart from it. So devil took that word and he supplied it to our young people.
Yeah. 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 That's right.
He took it and applied it to our young people.
Yeah.
Then no, we cannot tolerate that. We cannot allow that. We cannot tolerate it. They are attacking them from the very young age. Now we have the responsibility to bombard them with even more holiness stuff.
That's right. That's right.
Even though it's hard to find things with holiness these days to show them. And there's not much to work with. Wow. When you look for them, there's not much to see. Even all the way down to the toys that are available. Somehow they thrust homosexuality in there. Turn the TV on. And you know what? I don't watch TV like that anymore. If it's my National Geography or Science, forget it. Or news. Yes. They are infusing. our young people. Ladies and gentlemen, we have enough to deal with, okay? We have enough to deal with. Young people, life is getting harder and harder each and every day. Now, to be able to stand in 20 years from now, what can you do? Much education is needed. Much education is needed. When you become involved with boyfriend and girlfriend, your ability to learn decrease. Your ability to learn decrease. Let me tell you something. In the last 2 years, we lost 74 scientists. Most of them NASA scientists, doctor scientists. In 2 years, 74. What is happening? Does that speak anything to you? That means we are in decline in terms of technology also. Believe it or not, NASA produced technology not just for space. No, they go beyond that. Even post office, they are the ones that automated post office. They produce technology for so many companies around the country and around the world. They do a lot, even all the way to your house, things that you have in your house. Most of a lot of them came through NASA scientists. So if we are having a decline in those in the number of scientists, that means we are declining gradually in terms of technology. To the point that companies are now paying for young people to love science, to go study science. And boring is one of them. Because we don't have enough. That being said, they pay also for those who produce pornographic pictures. But you ain't going to find any that will pay for one to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they'll do forget that by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you bring humanity to sense. And if you can bring people back to their sense, then the result will be good. We will reduce criminality. If we can bring people back to their sense, fathers will stay home and raise their children. And we have less criminal on our street. We will have less guns in the wrong hands. We will have less people getting killed on our street each and every day. How do we fight this thing? Starting with the word of God. Starting with the word of God. Let's go to Ephesians 5. And let's look at something. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. He said, for this you know. The Bible says you know. For this you know. That no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, had any inheritance in the kingdom of Jesus and of God. So ladies and gentlemen, if you have been told, once you said, and you say, well, I confessed Jesus before, now I'm doing everything that I'm well, I'm going to die and go to heaven, you lie to yourself. You're going to die and find yourself in hell and burn for eternity. You're going to burn for eternity. The Bible clearly is saying here that you know. He said you know. Not me know, but you know. You know, you know, I know, we all know. That's what the Bible is saying. That no unclean person. What is an unclean person? Anyone that does anything that God does not approve of. No covetous man. Who is an idolater? If you love shoe and the shoe is before God, you push your shoes before God, you become an idolater. If American Idol is your idol, then you have idol. You ain't gonna go to heaven because American Idol. American Idol. I don't even watch it because it speaks to you for itself. I don't have idol. The Bible says these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the day that we are living, we're living so we can inherit the kingdom of God when Jesus comes. So everything that we do today, we must do them to in order to inherit the kingdom of God. I told you about Joel, who lived his life, who fought for the nation of Israel, who did everything that he could for the name of the God of Israel, and to maintain the man of God that God has placed over Israel, and the end of his day were not what it's supposed to be. He died a death that he should have died, simply because somewhere in there he messed up. Somewhere in there. Don't let your life be like that of Judas Iscariot. He lived with Jesus. He touched him. He beheld his glory. But at the end of the day, he committed suicide. How can a man live with Jesus and commit suicide? That I just can't comprehend. Yes. How someone can know Jesus all the way through? Physically, he touched him. He was the one carrying the money also, the treasurer. But at the end of the day, he did not inherit the kingdom. He did not inherit the kingdom. Don't let your life be like that. Don't let your life be like that. Let's go to Colossians and we will close on that. Colossians chapter 3.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Colossians chapter 3.
Oh, exactly.
Are you there? Mm-hmm. Colossians chapter 3, we start in verse 5. Alright, he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. What do you have upon the earth? Your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Your physical body. Your mind. Okay? Everything that you want in life starts with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you see and you say, I like, starts with your mind. Because your eyes see it through into your mind and your mind processes, and whatever your mind says, your body will go with it. So the Bible says, well, mortify, kill them! How do you kill them? Deny them what they want. The eyes of man is always after things. Always after things. I want. Man will never stop saying, I want. Because after he wants it, there's something that's coming out. And you know why business loves it? They put new stuff out every time. The way you buy this one, after you finish buying that one, then they put the next one out. And the way then you buy that one, and then they put the next one out. Why? Do you think they ever going to say, okay, we don't have any model for next year? No! Even though it's the same thing sometimes, they got paint in different colors. But they'll say, this is 2015. And you know what? The price tag is different. And you say, oh, I want that. Oh, you know what? This one is different. But put the hood. There's nothing different. It's all the same. But then, call this one. 2015 model, 2017 model, 2020 model. The eye is always after things. The Bible says, mortify them. Put them to silence. Mortify your members. If you turn the TV on, you see commercial, and all of a sudden your head turn around. Don't watch TV. You're not going to die by not watching TV. Stay away from it. Maybe you should watch some Christian channel. Maybe. Not all of them are Christian, but there are a lot of them that call themselves Christian channel. But find a good one. Those who are really Christian channel. And watch something that will not cause your head to be spinning around. So it's a mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. Because what? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, covetousness, he mentioned this again, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things say the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So therefore, the wrath of God is not designed for the children of God. You need to understand that. The wrath of God is designed for the children of disobedience. And these are the people that refuse to embrace God during their lifetime. So, ladies and gentlemen, as you live your life, remember how Joel lived. He lived. He showed forth his might in the land. He conquered the enemies of God. He established his name in the land as a mighty man of valor. But at the end of the day, he didn't live and die the way it's supposed to be. The way it was designed for him to die. He died because he was punished. Because he was punished. Don't let it be for you. Don't spend your days in church and having to spend your eternity in hell. So on this day of resurrection, that Jesus came out of the grave, the day that we remember. For a Christian, this is the day of victory. Because what? If you're living in a life where it seems like everything is just dead, just remember that Jesus came out of the grave.
Amen.
Just remember that, you know what? If he came out of the grave, then I can come out of the grave I am right now.
Yes.
Whatever grave you are in, just have hope alive and know that, you know what, you will come out of it. You will come out of it. And you know what? I want to remind you of something Jesus did before his death. He spoke. He spoke. He said, I will die and I will rise again on the third day. What does that mean? To you and me, Jesus prophesied his resurrection into existence before going into death. Because when you are dead, you cannot speak. You cannot pray for yourself when you are dead. But when you have the prayer in existence, before you enter the situation, the time you are in the situation, if you cannot speak, the prayers that have been prayed ahead of time, that are lingering in the air, can come into your rescue. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus spoke prophetically into the air. The world was waiting up there. The first day, the world couldn't do anything because what? Jesus said the third day. The second day in the grave, what? The world couldn't do anything. Why? Because Jesus said the third day. And the third day finally came. The word now had to be fulfilled. And the word descended upon him in the grave. And his body came out alive.
Amen.
So let that give us hope. That the dry bone can live again.
Hallelujah.
God said, can this dry bone live? He said, Lord, I don't know it, but you know it. Do you know what the prophet is saying? It's not just saying, God, you know it. He said, no, God, when you say it will live, then it will live. If you say it will not live, it will not live. That's what he's saying to God, but in different terms. You know it. If you say they will live, they will live. Because what? You have the ultimate word. If you speak it, that's what's going to happen. So therefore, God, whatever you say, I tell you that.
Amen.
Can this dry bone live? God, you know it.
Amen.
Can this dry bone live?
God, you know it.
Can this health be restored?
Amen.
God, you know it. Can the finances be restored?
God, you know it.
Can Israel come out of slavery?
God, you know it.
Can meat be given in the wilderness?
God, you know it.
Can water flow in the dry land?
Lord, you know it.
Can we receive protection in the wilderness?
God, you know it.
There's nowhere to dig a well.
God, you know where water can come from.
Lord, you know. He gives them water out of the rock. He gives them manna from heaven. He gives them protection by standing behind and out of front. When is it?
He showed them the light.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
He was there every step of the way.
Can they survive 40 years in the wilderness?
God, you know.
Can we come out of this situation?
God, you know it. God, you know it.
That's why I said, Lord, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. I don't know where we're going with this. I don't know what we're going to do. As a nation, I don't know where we're going. Everything is just brewing. It's a matter of time before it go up like a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to survive? Lord, you know it.
Amen.
You know it. That is the prophet. That was the prophet said. Lord, you know it. Am I going to survive it? Lord, you know it. Am I going to get through it? Lord, you know it. Will I be okay? Lord, you know it. Let's close our eyes. You are the Lord that changes now. We bow to you and we worship you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, on this day that we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Lord, we still have so many dead things in our lives. We have our health that look dead. We have our homes that look dead. We have our family situation that look dead. We have the financial situation that look dead. We have our children, our husbands, our wives, our brothers, our sisters. We have all these situations that look dead. We have, oh God, our personal issues, oh Father, that look like dead. Lord, in the name of Jesus, the resurrection power of Jesus we call upon. The resurrection oil. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let the dry bone begin to come to life. Let the dry, dead looking believer come to life today. Let the dead financial situation receive life. Let the dead health situation receive healing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, can this situation be turned around? Lord, you know it. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we agree with heaven today that the earth will experience resurrection. That the Christian, that the believer, that the kingdom of God in the earth will experience resurrection. Lord, let your people experience resurrection. Let each and every one of us, one way or another, experience resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Let every one of us become a dead witness to resurrection on this day. Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we pray. We call unto you today. We call unto you, reminding you that today is the day that your son came out of the grave. Lord, allow us to come out of the grave in which we are. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, the grave of shame, bring us out in the name of Jesus. The grave of financial hardship, bring us out in the name of Jesus. The grave of health issues, bring us out in the name of Jesus. The grave of disobedient children, oh God, bring them out in the name of Jesus. By your resurrection power, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that resurrection will fall upon us, that it would be released upon the kingdom, that the believer will experience. any issue we're dealing with in darkness, Lord, bring them to light, that we may see them and make a change. Lord, in the name of Jesus, reveal to us what we're doing wrong. Lord, show us where we have come short. Lord, in the name of Jesus, pull the veil down. Pull the veil down. Pull down the coverage. Remove the gate, oh God, that everything will be naked, that the light of the gospel will shine upon it, that we will make a change, oh God. Lord, we pray for our children. Send the oil of resurrection upon them. Let them be resurrected. Those that have heard the word, but are not living the word, we command the word to come alive in them. We command their spirit to be resurrected. In the mighty name of Jesus, we command even the little one to be healed and to be restored. In the name of Jesus, that the love of God will be kindled in their heart, even from the very young age, that your spirit will reject anything that is ungodly. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. We break the stronghold today. We command the mountains to be moved. We command the hills to be removed. We command every obstacle to be removed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Any demonic force assigned to your people, we cripple that demonic force. We paralyze it in the name of Jesus. We stop its work. We reverse every damage it has caused in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray. Stir up your spirit in us. Remind us that we are your vessel. Remind us that we are vessels of honor. Remind us that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. More important than the ark of the covenant of God, that we carry the very presence of God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, stir up holiness in us, that we will be reminded daily to be holy. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Change the mindset of the Christian. Change the mindset of the believer. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, let the dead spirit come to life. Let the spirit of the Christian in the coma come to life. We command all that have sleeping spirits to God to be awake in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your fire reach every believer, even on this day. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray. For those right here among us, that they receive your spirit, that in the name of Jesus, they will be guided to make a change, that strongholds will melt before them, that mountains will be made low before them, that the valley of the shadow of death will receive the light of Jesus Christ, that the darkness will disappear, that the sun will shine upon them. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, bring your people to the river. Bring them to the still waters, that they will drink, that they will be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that their leaves will never dry, that their branches will never dry, that they will produce their fruit in their season. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, release your people on this day. Release them on this day. In the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you for restoring your people. Thank you for resurrecting them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Even in the crowd, Jesus is the Lord. Even in the crowd, Jesus is the Lord. Mon âme bénit le Seigneur. Père malheur, à quoi l'as-tu dit? Même dans le tombeau, Jésus le Seigneur. Even in the grave, Jesus is the Lord.
Maranatha.
Lord, we thank you for the communion. We bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
House of Prayer International Ministry, amen. Where this is the Holy Ghost working ground.
Amen.
Our vision is touching and transforming lives, communities, and nations with the power and love of Jesus Christ, bringing salvation and restoration. Our mission, House of Prayer International Ministries, is a place of refuge for all nations. It is to provide instruction, leadership, inspiration, and encouragement to all, to equip its members for the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ, and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing restoration and wholeness to mankind.
Amen.
And we stand on that.
Amen.
Just one announcement. I think on May 23rd, there's a leadership conference that will be in Queens, New York. If anyone is would like to attend, please see Lady Crystal between now and then so that she can get accounts and be able to present that.
I think we have already confirmed the number.
Okay, we already confirmed it?
We have already confirmed.
Okay. Amen. Does anyone have any testimonies or?
Praise the Lord, saints. I just want to thank God today for even allowing me to be here. And by the way, I had got your text because I wasn't even so sure if I was even going to make it. I was having transportation problems. My car broke down a few days ago. And I was in prayer because I was just going through so many different things. If it was one thing, boom, 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 boom. So anyway, on Passover, which is on Thursday, I'm from Ocean County, so they were having a Passover service. And I was like, Lord, I really want to make it to the Passover service. And my car was smoking. And mind you, my car just got out of the shop 2 weeks prior to that. So I was like, okay, God, my car just got out of the shop. Now what's going on now? I don't have money to get the car fixed. And so anyway, I called someone, another person that I knew, to ask him, could I get a ride to the service? Because I wasn't sure that my car was going to make it. So anyway, the person said they wouldn't be able to, give me a ride there. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to trust you, Lord. I'm just going to drive it there anyway, right? So anyway, I get in the car. It was my daughter, my smallest daughter. We get in the car, and we're driving, and the car starts to overheat, so I pull over. And so I figure maybe if I give it some time, let it cool off a little bit. So anyway, make a long story short, I even stopped by the gas station, had to check the oil and the gas station guy said, oh, the oil is good, the antifreeze, they say it's good. So just as I got, I would say I was less than 3 miles down, the car really started smoking and the car shut off.
So I'm sitting there, so the man behind me, so all the time I'm singing, I'm praising God, matter of fact, on the way there, right, I'm just praising God, I'm singing, car smoking, right? And so anyway, the man behind me gets out, and this is kind of unusual, because now I'm in the woods, where I live, it's like really like in a no man's land. So there's a man behind me, strange, total stranger, he gets out, and he's like, you all right, because by this time I'm saying, Shanira, jump out, because you're like, oh gosh, they're probably going to set on fire now, right? And I'm telling her, get out, and I'm jumping out. Right? So she gets out, and I get out, and so the guy behind me, he says, you all right? And I was like, yeah. So he's telling her to get to his car. Anyway, long story short, there was the gentleman and another guy, both of them, God just really laid on their heart to just be there at the right time. You know, in my circumstances. So he wound up giving me the antifreeze, what I needed to get in my car. But all this time I didn't know, because I already knew that about cars. My car had ran out of antifreeze and it was overheating. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know. You know, I just get it and drive. So anyway, he comes with the antifreeze and the man that helped him, he said, you know, God really loves you. He just came out and said that. He said, he's really looking out for you. And I was like, oh, my God, praise the Lord. And so anyway, he just put a sign on my car, wind up. The other guy that helped me was just happened to live right down the road from where the church that I was going to for the Passover. So he winds up taking me to the church. Me and my daughter, we got there in time for the Passover Seder. And it was just really blessed. I just want to thank God when we really trust him. He's teaching me how to just really trust him. No matter how it looked, even the car smoking and all that, almost like it was going to catch on fire. I was just trusting God. And he set everybody in place just to be there at the time of need. And I just want to give God the glory for that.
Amen. At this time, Sister Angela and the little ones have a presentation.
They're going to share with you what they learned. Okay, so they did this last year as well. We do it every year to remind them about the resurrection weekend. Okay, I'm opening up the first page. And what is this? A donkey. What was the donkey for? To ride. And who rolled on this donkey, Sammy? Jesus. He rolled to the city on a donkey. In Jesus' days, who rolled on donkeys? Kings. And they ride on donkeys and also what else, Sammy? Donkeys and... Jesus. Jesus rolled on donkey and also what else? Horses. Kings roll on donkeys and horses when they wanted to enter into the city and people will watch them.
Okay.
Okay, I'm opening the next egg. All right, everyone, what is this? Silver coins. And silver coins. Was everybody happy that Jesus was going into the city? Not everybody. And why were some of them not happy about Jesus going to the city? Do you remember? Some people did not want Jesus to be king. So one of Jesus' friends, what was Jesus' friend's name? What was one of his friends' name that didn't want Jesus to be king? Judas paid them coins. They paid him silver coins. All right, to turn Jesus in, right? And what is this?
A cup.
Jesus, since he knew that he was going to die, he met with how many friends?
12.
And those 12 friends were his disciples. These were his friends. And he said, here, take this cup. And what was in the cup? Yeah, the disciples, they had a cup, and they Jesus shared the cup, right? And what was in the cup?
Wine.
It was a what? Sammy?
What was it?
Yes, it was a symbol of Jesus' blood.
All right.
It was a symbol of Jesus' blood. What is a symbol? Like a picture, painting a picture.
All right.
What are these? People?
Pray the name.
Hands. And what can we do with our hands?
Pray.
We can pray. Pray. And can we pray? Can we? Can we pray? And when can we pray? When you're feeling what? You're feeling good, you can pray. And also, Vicky, when else can you pray?
When you're sad.
And who was sad? Well, Jesus, he was sad, so he told his 12 friends to do what in the garden?
Pray.
To pray. He said, go over there and pray, while Jesus went to the other side of the garden and prayed alone. And he was sad because he knew that he was going to die. So he began to pray. To who? To who?
God.
Yeah, to God. To his Father. And is God just Jesus' Father? He's all of our Father. Okay. What is this?
Sammy? A whip.
A whip. And what do you think this is, Sammy?
Whip.
A whip. And what did the soldiers do with this whip?
They whipped Jesus.
They whipped him. Did you think that hurt it? Yeah. They whipped him into what? Until he what, Sammy? Yeah, until he bled. And then what happened after they whipped him? What is this?
A crown.
A crown. And how did they make this crown, guys? Yeah, and then Sammy, after they put it on his head, what happened, Sammy?
Blood came
dripping down his face. Did Jesus say something? No, he kept a straight face. Why? He didn't want to show anger because he wanted to show them that I'm also dying for you. All right, everybody, this is
a cross.
It's a cross, and these are, let's count how many nails is on the cross. One, two, three. And where was those three nails at, guys? Let's see. One, two, three. So there was one in this hand, and another one in this hand, and one in his feet. That's where they nailed Jesus at.
Wow.
Okay? And when they nailed him, did Jesus say anything again?
No.
He kept quiet and allowed them to nail him. And what is this?
A dice.
A dice. And what do we use dice for?
Games.
We use dice for games, okay? And we play games, right? And what were some of the soldiers doing at the cross?
Playing games and seeing who the soldier was going to take his place.
They were playing games. They mocked Jesus. And they were playing games and laughing, thinking it was funny, and who was going to take Jesus' clothes. They made it at the end of the game. And was that okay? No, that was not okay. Would you like it if somebody was making fun of you and trying to take your clothes? No, we don't like that. And Sammy and Vicky, what is it? Sammy, what's this? Sammy, what is it? Remember? What is it? Sammy, look at me. What is this?
Yeah,
it's that. What is it? A spear. And Sammy, what did the soldier do with the spear?
Poke him.
Where did they poke him?
On his side.
And when they poked him in his side, what came out?
Blood and water.
Blood and water. Yes. And did that hurt? That hurt. That really hurt it. But why did they poke him in his side?
Because
Do you remember? To see if he was really... Yeah, they wanted to make sure that he was dead. They just wanted to be one more last. What is this?
A linen cloth.
A linen cloth. What was this linen cloth used for, Sammy and Vicky?
To wrap Jesus.
To wrap Jesus up? Well, Sammy, do you remember who wrapped Jesus with the cloth?
Robert.
Not Robert, but... Joseph, he wanted to wrap Jesus up and put him in the grave. Joseph wanted to bury Jesus because he knew that those people didn't like him so much that they knew that he wouldn't get a good burial. So Joseph asked if he could take Jesus' body to bury him. Right? And was that nice for Joseph? Yeah, that was really nice. Sammy, what's this? Vicky, what do you think this is?
It's a stone.
What do you guys think this is? That was a stone. And what was the stone for?
To cover the cave
that they put Jesus in. Sammy, was that stone big or small?
Big.
It was big. How big?
As big as a house.
It was really big. As big as a big car or a house, right? And was it a heavy stone? A heavy stone. Do you think mommy can push that stone? No. Do you think Daddy Jake can push that stone? No. Who came to push that stone?
The angel.
An angel. And Sammy, where did the angel get their muscle strength from?
From God.
Right? Mm-hmm. From God. Because we don't have that type of strength to push a stone that big over it. No. Now let's open this.
Nothing.
There were two women that came to visit the grave, right? And those, let me see two fingers. One, two. There were two women to come to the grave. And when they went to the grave, what was in there?
Nothing.
It was empty. Why was it empty? Jimmy, why was it empty?
Why was there nobody in the grave? Where did Jesus go?
He rose. And where did he go, Sammy?
Up.
In where?
Heaven.
In heaven. And why did Jesus go to heaven?
To see God.
And also to let us know that we can also what?
See God too,
right? Dun, 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 dun. The end.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Thank God for the children, for our future.
Amen.
For our future. And we need to pray for our future.
Amen.
I was on a prayer call yesterday, and one of the prophets had said that, you know, we're in a season where there's a demonic assignment from King Herod. You know, at the time of the birth of Christ, there was a decree, and the enemy is putting decrees out against our children to take them out. And so they need blood coverage. They need to be covered. Because if you take out the future, then what do you have? We're losing generations. We will lose a generation if we do not cover our young. Cover the teenagers, cover the young adults, because there is demonic decrees over their lives to take them out, completely out, to take them completely out. And it's our duty as people of God who know the power of God and know what the power of prayer can do to reverse and to take the enemy out and to tear up the decree, the demonic decree, so that their lives can flourish the way God intended them to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to transition into the ministry of giving. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we're going to ask everybody to stand. If you're writing a check, write it to the house, H-O-T-I-M. Oh, if you need an envelope. Yes, baby Eli is doing better. He is suffering right now from muscular atrophy, where he's not really stretching his muscles. They're kind of retracted there. So I think, you know, they're trying to work on it to get him to be able to just stretch his muscles. So we ask for the continued prayer. My friend sent me two videos of him. He seems to be very alert, you know, very responsive to his parents. You know, but he will continue to be in the hospital for a couple of weeks. He does have compression socks over his legs, you know, from the burn. So just continue to keep him in prayer. And also we'll continue to pray for the young boy in Togo. Hospital is still on strike. We're going to pray that strike get over. But that the Lord find favor and fly that young man to a country that will be able to administer his surgery.
Also, remember Levine, she is in need of two knee replacements. She said one knee is vulnerable.
Amen. Remember one of our members, Levine, keep her in prayer. Amen. We're going to ask the Lord to stand as we pray over the offer. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your resurrection power, God, because we know that nothing stops the plan of God. Father, we just ask right now that you bless the givers, God, those who have a heart to give right now in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, that every seed that is being planted in the house, God, will reap them the return on their prayer and their investment in the house. God, we ask right now that every seed, God, planted here will water those who are thirsty. God, feed those who are hungry. Give clothes to the naked, God. And, Lord, house those who have no place, God, to have roots, God. We're asking right now, God, that this seed touch locally and internationally, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. That, God, that the mission that you have instilled in us and you have called us and commissioned us to do, God, that the seed will work according to your will and plan. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Into the great deeds he has done, greater deeds he will do. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great deeds he has done. Oh, great deeds he has done, greater deeds he will do. Unto the Lord be the glory.
Quran. Yeah. And that's how they separate the Muslim from the Christian and they kill the Christian. So when you look at Boko Haram, you look at Al-Shabaab, you look at ISIS and many other terrorist groups, what do they have in common? They are all Islamic and they are all after the Christian. Mm-hmm. And they are doing the work of the Quran and we are the target. Those that have been killed are our brothers and sisters. And let's stand with them in prayer. You know, if there's anything else that can be done beyond just prayer, let us also do that. If there's a ministry that is caring for those on the ground, and there's any way we can support them, let's do it. Amen. Prayer is good, but action, other action besides prayer also is needed. So whatever we can do, let's do it. Amen.
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 Heavenly Father, we thank you and we bless you.
Thank you.
We exalt you today. Even above the sky, even above the moon, the sun, and the stars of heaven. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we know your throne is established forever. Lord, we know you are and you will forever be. Lord, we thank you that you are coming back again for us to take us home. Lord, remind us daily of how to live so we can be taken when the time comes. Lord, in the name of Jesus, empower everyone here with your power and your spirit, your resurrection power. Empower everyone, young and old, to be able to withstand in this evil age we live in. Lord, in the name of Jesus, this week that has begun, let it be the best week ever for your people. Lord, in the name of Jesus, those that have never experienced peace, let them experience it. In this week, those that have never experienced blessing in any form, Lord, let them experience it in the name of Jesus. Those that have never miraculously been healed, let them be healed this week in the name of Jesus. Those that have never experienced a financial breakthrough, Lord, let them experience miraculous financial breakthrough. Lord, in the name of Jesus, this week, remember your people, Lord, and do great and mighty things that will blow their mind away and remind them that you are God and that you have the earth and the moon and the sun all in the palm of your hand. Lord, in the name of Jesus, empower them to do good, to become force of good in earth, in Jesus' mighty name. As they leave this place, let the blood continue to cover them. Let the angel of the Lord continue to guide them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for supernatural supply for your people. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.